Many years ago, I was a school teacher. Many years ago, I worked in Hertfordshire. I was a science teacher in a secondary school, and I was teaching in the days before the national curriculum. In other words, I could do whatever I liked. I walked in the classroom. As long as you got to the classroom just ahead of the kids, that was fine. At 3:30, the plan was to get out of the door before the kids got out of the door, and then get in the car park, get in the car before they all managed to get out too. Those are the days. Apparently teaching's changed a little bit since those days. But I've enjoyed teaching. I taught for 2 years, and then I retired from teaching. That was 30 years ago. They do say, once a teacher, always a teacher. In fact, there's some funny little sayings that they've come up with about old teachers. They say, old teachers never die. Let's have our first slide, please, Joe. Old chemistry teachers never die. They just fail to react. Or old maths teachers never die. They just can't differentiate. And here's one for Gavin. Old principals never die. They just lose their faculties. Oh, that's a good one. And my favourite is old teachers never die. They just lose their class. Oh. This time of year, it's the beginning of the school year. And because I was a teacher, it gets grained in you that there's this pattern to the year. And this seems like the beginning of the year. It's for many of the students, many of the children. It is the beginning of the year, beginning of the academic year. And so I want to talk today. I believe that God wants us to look at this year ahead, this academic year ahead, and to see what he has for us. And so I believe God's given us a message for this new season. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God of new beginnings and new seasons. And we know whether that's school, whether that's college, whether that's job, whether that's home, whatever it is, you're a God who has new things for us. And I want to ask today, Holy Spirit, would you come and work in this place? Holy Spirit, would you help us to know more of Jesus today? Would you help us to draw closer to Jesus? Would you help us to become more like Jesus today? Amen. Now, a number of years after being a school teacher, I applied for a job in a computer department at BP, the oil company, and it was down in Moorgate. I went for this interview, and I had an interview with the manager, and it went well. I thought, great. And he said, right now, you need now to go to the HR, to the human resources department, and have another interview. Off I went there, and the woman interviewed me, seemed to go, she said, at the interview, she said, we need now to give you a psychometric test. You have to sit down, the computer asks you these 100 questions, battery of questions, and we just need to, you know, to see, she didn't say why, but we need to have this test. I said, fine, okay. So I answered these 100 questions, and then I sat, waited patiently while the computer churned out its verdict on me, and I went in a little bit nervous, and she said, Mr. Heapman, I've got some good news. You're normal. I thought, whew. But, and that's always the but, isn't it? Great. I thought, what's the but? Well, I'm normal, but. Well, I'm normal, but what? She said, you're normal, but. And she showed me this print-off, and that it had a band of normality. There was a line in the middle, and then there was one side which was acceptable normality, that side. Another side, acceptable normality, that side. She said, you're outside the bound of acceptable normality. And in one particular issue, I thought, oh, good grief, what's wrong? She said, your propensity, your desire for change is abnormal. And she said, we're worried if we give you the job, you won't stay. We're worried if you give you the job, because if you want to change, you will not stay. Anyway, they did give me the job, and I didn't stay. Thing is that we're all different. That's the amazing thing here today is you have a desire for change. I have a desire that's different. Some of us don't like change. Some of us love change. Some of us think, oh, I don't want anything to change. I want things to stay as they are. Other people think, when are things going to change? We're all different. As we face this new academic year, I've got something I want to show you, the words of Taylor Swift here. This is what she said. This is a new year, a new beginning, and things will change. Things will change. I agree with her sentiment that things will change because, not because Taylor Swift says so, but because God is a God of change. Now, the thing that's amazing is that God's revealed himself as a God who personally, God himself, does not change. We read in Malachi 3 verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. In other words, the revelation of God's given us of his character is the character of God is the one that doesn't change. God has revealed himself as the perfect God. And perfection does not need to change. God's revealed himself as the one who's always existed, always will exist, and he is perfect love. That's how he's revealed himself. And so because of that, he is not going to change. So if I'm going to get closer to him, if I'm going to know him, if I'm going to experience him, and I'm not perfect, then I'm going to have to change. There's going to have to be some changes around here. In fact, the Christian life is actually seen as a process of constant change. There's a story told by a US naval officer called Frank Koch. He tells a story of his experience in the Navy. He was aboard a battleship and he'd been at sea for routine manoeuvres under heavy weather for many days. And the captain, who was worried about the deteriorating weather conditions, he stayed on the bridge. So the captain was there on the bridge watching out as the battleship was trying to deal with all this different weather. One night, the lookout on the bridge shouted to the captain, Captain, a light on the starboard bow. He replied, is it stationary or moving? The lookout replied, it's stationary. This meant that the battleship was on a dangerous collision course with another ship. So the captain immediately ordered his signalman, signal the other ship and say, we are on a collision course. I advise you, change course 20 degrees east. Back came the response from the other ship. You need to change course 20 degrees west. Agitated by the response of the other ship, the captain said to his signalman, send another message. Send this. I am a captain. You change course 20 degrees east. Back came the second response. Sir, you need to change course 20 degrees west. Captain was furious by this time. He says to the signalman, right, send this message. I am a battleship. Change course 20 degrees east right now. Back came the response. I am a lighthouse. Of course, the captain had no choice but to change course. Like it or not. And in one sense, as Christians, we've got no choice but to change course. God is not going to change, and we have to change. Not just in becoming a Christian, but in the whole process of walking as a Christian. And the prophet Ezekiel, speaking in the Old Testament, looked forward to a time in the New Testament when God would do something in the hearts of his people. This is what we read in Ezekiel 36 and 26. Ezekiel 36, 26, he said this, God speaking prophetic, God looking forward to the time we live into these days, where it says, God says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you the heart of stone. And it was a heart of, if you think about stone, stone doesn't change. Stone is kind of fixed. And so what the prophet is saying here is there's going to come a time in the future where God is going to do a miracle in his people, where a heart that's hard, a heart that won't change, a heart that's stony, God will remove that heart and give his people a heart that will change, a heart that will be soft, a heart that will be responsive, a heart that will change as God wants us to change. And so that's how it's possible for us as God's people to change today, is because God has done a miracle of putting something inside us, a new heart, a heart that can change. But I don't know about you, I find it hard. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to change. I know what God, we read in the Bible, I know what God says he has done. Oops, what says he has, God says he has done in our lives. But actually, sometimes it's hard. It feels like my heart doesn't want to change. The Apostle Paul describes this process in Philippians 1 verse 6. It says, God began a good work in you. God began the moment you became a Christian. God started something in your heart and he's going to continue. He's going to go on. He's going to carry it on to completion and it will be complete the day Jesus returns or you go to heaven to be with him. But there is a process going on all the days of our lives. In fact, it's a daily process, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, inwardly, in my heart, in your heart, inwardly, we are being changed. We've been renewed. Something's happened day by day. It's a big change. Something's happening in our hearts as God is working day by day. Now, there are seasons of big change. And for John, as we pray today, he's going to a new school. It's a big deal. Aaron's going back to China. It's a big deal. Sometimes there are seasons of big change for us. Other times, the change that actually God has for us is an internal change. It's actually a change of heart. It's actually not our circumstances that change, but it's something on the inside in me that needs to change. And God comes to me with his love and with his care and with his compassion. And God says, I love you too much to let you stay the way you are. I love you too much just to allow you to stay how you are, because God loves you so much, he wants you to change, to become more like his son, more like Jesus. And so there are seasons of change. They could be outward circumstances or they could be inner change. I love the words of Tolstoy where he says this, everyone thinks of changing the world. No one thinks of changing themselves. And often actually, for something in my life, I think, well, if this changed in my life, if this person wasn't in my life, if this boss wasn't bossing me about, if I didn't have this or if I did have that, if circumstances in my life change, it would be much better. Actually, quite often, what it is what I do need is something to happen on the inside of me that I would change. See, the Christian life is depicted using analogies of a journey. It was moving from one place to another. It's an inner journey or a race. Not that we compete against each other, but that we're running a race to give our best effort to finish. Or like a pilgrimage where I'm on a spiritual journey, learning and changing as I go. See, in one sense, all my life, I am learning and changing. All my life, 33 years ago, I became a Christian. And all my life today, I'm learning, changing. God, would you change me today? Can I learn new things from you today? So it's not necessarily a physical change. Often it's an internal change, a change in my heart, a change in my attitude, a change in my relationship to Jesus. So the Christian life is depicted as an adventure. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The moment I asked Jesus, it was October 1979. I was in my room. I was a student at university. I knelt down in my room on my own. I said, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you do something, do a miracle, come in, wash my sins away? Give me a brand new start. And what does he say happened? The old life is gone. A new life has begun. It's begun. But like a baby that's born, it's got to grow up. It's got to mature. There's a whole process ahead. And so these last 33 years for me has been a process, and it is for you. And today is a process. It's another step forward on this journey that God has for us. And it's a process of change. That's one. If one thing characterizes the Christian life, it's all about change. From the moment I got born again to today, it's about change. And we're going to look today at a verse, a passage in Isaiah, in the prophet Isaiah, where he spoke these words thousands of years ago to the people in the Old Testament. But these words are relevant today to us here in modern London. And it's Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. We're going to look at these verses together briefly today. These are the verses, Isaiah 43. God says to his people, God says to you today, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not recognize it? Do you not understand it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So God's speaking to us, I believe, fresh through this passage today about our own lives and about what God's doing in each one of us. So to discover new things in our life, we're asked, God says to us, firstly, forget what's happened before. So God's instruction about moving forward, God's instructions about change, God's instructions about living today and tomorrow and the next day actually starts with a requirement to forget about the past. So to receive the new things in my life, I'm going to have to put out of my mind the old things. That's not easy. That is absolutely not easy. Moving on from the past is hard. We've developed habits that root us in the past. We've got disappointments that tie us emotionally to events in the past. And we carry baggage of previous experience. We carry it from the past. So this is a big ask. God says today, forget what happened in the past. Apostle Paul helps us in Philippians 3, verse 13. This is what he says about this. Paul would have known the passage in Isaiah. This is what he says. He says, one thing I do, this is what the Apostle Paul, there he said, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. He's making a choice. He's making a conscious effort. He's saying, I'm forgetting about the past and I'm looking forward. I'm straining forward. I'm not looking behind me. I'm looking forward now to the things that lie ahead. And you see, the thing for Paul was what lay behind him in his past was great success. This man had turned the known world upside down. This guy had gone to the island of Malta and through the power of God had healed every single person on the island. This is the guy who went to city after city, planted churches, saw God move in miraculous and incredible ways. So in fact, what lies behind him, there was lots of really brilliant things. Lots of things he could have retired on. He could have done a preaching tour, going around telling everyone all the amazing things God has done through my life in the past. Easy. He could have lived off the past very, very easily. But also behind him was a whole load of struggle. He'd been stoned many times. He'd been shipwrecked. He had times where he had no food, times where he had no clothes, times where he had no friends, times where he'd been left for dead, times where he'd been rejected. And so for Paul, the past had two sides to it. There was incredible success. There was also incredible pain. And for all of us here today, that's the past. That kind of sums up our past. There have been times things have happened in the past that have been brilliant. And you think, wow, I was so pleased what happened then. The course I did, the thing that happened in my life there, I'm so pleased about it, so proud of that. And there are things in our past where I think, that is such a dark time. That is such a tough time. That is such a really hard time. Paul's got both. And what is he doing about his history? What is he doing about his past? He says, this is what I'm doing. I forget. He's choosing. It's a choice. Forget what lies behind. And I'm now going to look forward to what God's got for me today and the next day and the next day. He's making a choice. And he's saying this. He's putting down the good, the bad, and the ugly. See, what holds you back from new things is the past. What holds you back from the next thing God's got for you is the things that you're holding on to from the past. Isaiah 43 in the Message translation says this. Isaiah 43 verse 18, the Message said, forget about what happened. Don't keep going over old history. Don't keep going over old history. That's the advice. In fact, it nails the problem down. You see, often what I do is I think about a situation in the past, about something that's happened. I think, if I did that again, I could have done this differently. That didn't turn out very well, so I could have done this, I could have done that. Or I go through situations, conversations that I've had that have not been good, conversations I've had that have been bad, and think, I should have said that. I replay the conversation, I think, I should have said that, and I should have said this. Because what I'm doing is I'm going over old history. Do you know what Paul says? We miss out on the new things that God has for us. We miss out because our mind is stuck in the past. And so a simple message from this passage this morning, Paul says, put it behind you. It's the past. However hard, I'm not trivializing any difficulty that you've been through. I'm not seeking to gloss over or say, look, it's no problem. Because some things we've been through are very serious things. I know, I realize that. But so the Apostle Paul, he'd been through some very, very serious things. And he says, what I'm doing is I'm choosing to put it behind me and look forward to the new things that God has for him. And so I believe it's possible with God's help to do that. And later on, in a few minutes when we come to pray, we're going to ask that God would do that for us. But as we take our minds off the past, we're then free to recognize something new. We didn't recognize it before because we're looking in the wrong place. Rather than me looking ahead, God, what have you got new? I'm looking behind me, God, the things that have gone on in the past. And so he goes on in this passage in Isaiah 43. He goes on and says, see, I'm doing a new thing. See. In other words, see, God's telling us to look, to see, to recognize, to give our attention to what God's doing. We can see things we couldn't see before. We couldn't see them before because we look in the wrong direction. It wouldn't be amazing to recognize and see the God, the things God is doing in your life, around your life, that you've missed, that you haven't seen because you've been looking in the wrong place. Because I haven't been looking, like Paul's saying, looking ahead, straining ahead. God, what are the new things? God, what are the new things? At work, God, what are the new things at work? In my relationships, what are the new things? In my family, what are the new things, God, you're doing? Isaiah tells us in this passage, Isaiah 43, he says this, I am doing a new thing. God is saying he is doing a new thing. Not a rehash of previous things, not tired, same old, not business as usual kind of thing. Would you like something new from God this autumn? Would you like something new? Listen to the words of God. See, look, recognize, I'm doing something new, a new thing. Do you see what he continues to say? The prophet hasn't finished. He continues this. The new thing springs up. It springs up. In other words, suddenly, out of nowhere, something happens. Suddenly, we recognize something. Suddenly, we see something. Suddenly, circumstances change. Sometimes in our life, circumstances suddenly change. Suddenly, an opportunity opens up. Suddenly, a door closes. Suddenly, something new happens in our life. And that's one of the wonderful things about God is when he moves, we recognize, God, you're doing this. Sometimes what I realized in the past, where a door's been closing in my life, I thought, God, I don't want that door to close. I was trying to put my foot in the door to stop it closing. God, I don't want this door to close. Not recognizing, actually, it's God who's closing this door. Because God opens doors in our lives, and sometimes he closes them. And what the prophet's saying here is actually we've got to recognize where God is at work in our lives, opening up situations, giving us opportunities, and also closing doors, closing down opportunities, so that something new can open up for us. See, my frail humanity, I can say, God, I don't want things to change. I like things the way they are. I don't want them to change. God, please don't give me something new. I'm quite like it as it is now. Actually, God is the God who's doing new things. God is the God who's doing new things in our life. And he finishes this little bit of the thing. He says, do you not perceive it? See, God's asked us this question. Sometimes new things happen and we don't recognize the fact that it's God who is doing these things. And God says, don't you recognize it? Don't you recognize what I'm doing? And this morning you might be thinking, looking at your life, think, God, where is the new thing? God, it seems pretty same to me. Where is the new thing? And God asks you a question. Do you not recognize what I am doing in your life? And if you say this morning, honestly, Paul, no, I don't recognize, then we can go to God and say, God, could you open my eyes, open the eyes of my heart, that I could perceive, that I could recognize, that I could see the new things you're doing in my circumstances and in my heart? Then this passage finishes with some encouragement for us as we face these challenges that I've been talking about. This is what it says, the last bit of the passage. God says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Why is God talking about new things and now he's talking about wilderness and wasteland? What's this about? Well, the first bit here says, I am making a way in the desert. Now, a desert's obviously not somewhere you want to be. It's going to be dry, going to be hot, going to be dusty, going to be barren, going to be lonely. If I'm in a desert physically, if I'm physically in a desert, all I want to do is get out the other side. I'm not going to want to stay there and enjoy the scenery. I want to get out. Last year, had the privilege of traveling in America, and it started off in on the West Coast in the state of California, and we wanted to go to the state of Utah, because in Utah there's incredible canyons, incredible wonders of the world to go and see. And so if you geography, you can correct me if my geography of America is wrong here, But you've got this, if you can imagine the West Coast here, we've got California, the state of California. And then you move across, and over here we've got Utah with all these amazing things to see. But the problem is, there is a state in the middle, and that state is one that is one big desert, the state of Nevada. And so you've got to get from California across this desert, which basically is the state of Nevada, to the other side, to the things you want to see. And it's this desert called the Mojave Desert. It's a bleak place, famous for Area 51, alien sightings, all that kind of stuff. We travelled down the extraterrestrial highway. We didn't see anything. We stopped at the alien cafe, had an alien burger. But I can report definitely that there are no aliens in there. We didn't see any. The thing was, we set off in California at 5 a.m. in the morning, and 13 hours driving later, we arrived in Utah. So we just drove and drove and drove and drove across the Mojave Desert. And it's just a desert. That is, it is a bleak, bleak, barren desert. In fact, there is in some places only one road you go down. There's only one possible road. And you start, and as you look in the distance, it's completely straight. And so as you're driving, you're driving along, you look in the distance, you see the horizon, the road. After driving for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, you're no nearer the end of the road because it's so long. You just keep driving on and on and on. A desert place is somewhere you want to pass through quickly, not somewhere to stay. And you see what it says here? God says, I am making a way in the wilderness. I'm making a way. And some situations in our life, it may be circumstances around us. It may actually be something on the inside. It may be on the inside, I feel like a desert. On the inside, I feel this wilderness. It may be an internal thing, or it may be the circumstances around me in my life. But God says, I'm making a way. God cuts a path through. God makes a way through. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you feel that either your circumstances or you feel on the inside, you feel like you're in a wilderness, God's word to you is that he is making a way. That he'll bring you through. He's making a path. Where there seems as though there isn't a path, God is making a way. I love that scripture where God says, where there is no way, he's making a way. And it seems like, God, how are you going to do this? How is this possible? God, this seems like impossible that you could possibly bring me through this work situation that is so challenging and tough. My boss is so unreasonable. God says, I will make a way where there seems no way. It may be something internally where I'm struggling with something. I says, God, I just cannot see how I'm going to get out of this. And God says, I'm going to make a way through this and bring you out the other side. And that's the promise of God for us today, that he's a God. It may be a practical thing. It may be a challenge that we face that seems like a desert. It could be the desert of accommodation, maybe struggling to find somewhere to live. A desert of good schools for your kids. Desert of jobs. Desert in terms of family or relationships. Very practical things. But God says there, where there is no way, he will make a way. And my testimony this morning is that through the 33 years that I've been a Christian, that not only my own life, but I've seen so many times that where there seems no chance, no way, no possibility, God is the God who makes a way through that. As we do this thing here, as we forget the former things, as we choose to not think about the past but look for the new, as we say, God, would you open my eyes to the new thing you're doing? God makes a way to the new in our life. And then it finishes this passage, and God makes streams in the wastelands. Now sometimes we're in that Mojave Desert for 13 hours, long time. And it may seem in our life that there's areas that are dry and hard and challenging for a long time. And God promises to make a way through and take us through those. But we come to God and say, God, I've been in this situation for a long time. It's been months, it's been years now since I've been journeying through this desert in my life, in whatever area it is. God's promise to us today is this. He brings streams in the wasteland. It was his refreshment from heaven, his goodness from heaven, the life of God from heaven flows in my heart, revives, refreshes me. It's the one thing that Bear Grylls says you need in the desert is water. You're going to need some water to be refreshed, to make it through. And God promises here in a tough situation, he is going to give us that refreshment. He's going to bring. So even though it's a desolate place, a barren place, an empty place, that God is going to bring that refreshment today. I want to ask you a personal question. Where is your struggle today? Where is your desert? Where is the wasteland in your life? Is it the circumstances that you face? Or is it something in my heart, something in our hearts? Where is your wasteland today? Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the miraculous God who makes a way through the desert. Thank you, the awesome God who provides us with streams of refreshing in the wasteland. And Lord, we come to you today as your people. And Lord, we've got our personal deserts, our personal wastelands in our life. And we look to you saying, God, would you help us? God, would you help us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel for some of us, we've struggled to not reflect on the past, not to be held back by the past. Some of us are struggling to shake off the past. Paul says, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain to what lies ahead. You think, wow, okay, Paul, that's hard. That's hard. If that's how you feel this morning, can I pray just that God would help us to do that, to do what he's asking us to do and to look forward and not back. Open your heart this morning as I'm going to pray. Just open your heart to allow God to change. The God who doesn't change wants to change my heart, wants to change your heart. Heavenly Father, would you come today by your Holy Spirit and would you help us not to be held back by the past, not to be looking behind us, not to be tied to things that have happened, good and bad, in the past. Lord, would you free us that we, like Paul, could look ahead, strain to look ahead at the new things. Lord, would you do a miracle in our hearts this morning amongst us? Come, Holy Spirit, would you do a miracle here in our hearts today? Just while we're quiet before God, could you give your heart to God? Just imagine handing over this precious thing, your heart, and saying, God, here is my heart. Would you soften? Would you change? Would you help me today? Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Lord, we do desire change in our hearts this morning. Miracle working God, would you come deep, deep, deep in our hearts? Set us free, change us this day, today.
We sang that beautiful song earlier in the meeting about who we are and the Father's love. I just felt God speak to me, and he said something beautiful. He said, you are not defined by your earthly parents. You're defined by your heavenly Father. And who you are is something new and different now, because your heavenly Father is the one who makes you the person you are.
I just feel that God is speaking this morning about our parents. And we're not seeking to criticize them or level any accusation against them, but just for some of us, it's difficult. There's been difficulties in the past, maybe even difficulties today with our parents. I believe that word that Vicky's had for us is powerful. That God is freeing us. He's our Heavenly Father. We're part of a new family, His family. And He's freeing us from those ties and cords that hold us back. Just as we're quiet before God, that personally in our prayers, even now, we could pray and say, God, I bless my parents. Thank you for them. Would you release me from any ties, anything that holds me back, anything? God, would you come? Release in Jesus' name.
That when I, as a lady, came as a small child to the Lord, to Jesus, and I gave my heart as a card, when you give a card to teacher, for example, Jesus, if everyone if in a prayer, we come as a children in front of them, they will take, he will take you to your arm and he will start to dance with you and just be, he's so happy to be with you. If you open your heart and give you sincerely your heart as a child, he will take to his arm and he will dance with you in the joy.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Got a real privilege this morning, just for a few moments. The kids come back, it'll just quiet us, just to open our hearts to Jesus in a fresh way, a new way this morning. Say, God, thank you. I sense this morning Jesus coming to each one of us with his hand outstretched, wanting us just to get hold of his hand and step out on the adventure he has for us with him. The new things. I get a picture this morning of someone who's been building a house with bricks. And they've been trying hard to build this house. And God's come and said, come saying this morning, that actually, even though you've been trying so hard to do this thing, whatever it is, God's got something new and it's much better. And it's something he wants to give you. Because sometimes I believe in our lives, we try very hard to do something in our effort and strength. And actually, God just wants to give us, bless us with something that's not out of our own effort and trying to do things, but that's just him wanting to really bless us as his children. And so I believe this morning, for some of us, we've got to just step away from what we've been building, we've been trying, we've been doing, we've put a lot of sweat and effort into something. But actually, God's got something better and new for you today.
Just this morning I was looking at, I was out in the garden looking at a plant. It was actually called a stellata, which is a small magnolia tree that I rescued from my mum's garden when she died. It's like a little part of her, but it's I felt God to really speak to me through this morning, and its leaves were shedding, and the new growth was pushing through, so that in the springtime it'll become something really beautiful. But it's the same. And every year it needs to shed its old leaves, and they fall to the ground and they die, and it's a normal part of the process. And it's normal that we go through phases of things dying and new things coming, but every year it's bigger than it was the year before. And we shouldn't think that it's a strange thing when difficult things happen in our lives, because God is wanting to transform us and change us, and we all need to grow. And I just felt to really confirm what Paul was speaking about this morning, that God's wanting a new season in all of our lives. And our circumstances may not change. We may be in the same thing for many years, but in that, God wants us to change. He wants our attitudes, our feelings, our experience of himself to change in the middle of that.
Are dangerous words for us human beings to use, because they're words that belong to God. But singing this morning, we sang, I can't remember the words now, I will worship you forever or something.
Yes.
And I think the beauty is that through the cross, because of what Jesus has done, we can use eternal language, eternal words, because God has made a way for us to be with him forever. And being in God's presence forever, how can we do anything but worship him and love him, the one who is, just by his very nature, love. And so this morning, let's continue in our worship with our offering, our little, the something of us that we give back to God at this little part of the meeting this morning. If you're a visitor, please don't feel under any obligation to give. If you give by standing order, then stand, let your order flow and in your heart. But if you want us to get the tax back, there are envelopes at the back somewhere that you can fill in. Can't see where they are.
The information point.
Oh, there it is. Sorry, over there. Yes, thank you. But let's continue to worship and loving this wonderful Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you'd like to take a seat, that would be lovely. We're just going to pray for a young man. Where is he? There he is, yes. John Jr. Do you want to come? We call John Jr. just because it's so confusing, his father being called John as well. And it's very, you know, they're so similar that when you see them together, you think, hang on, which one's which? That one's... John is going up to secondary school next week. Do you start? Yeah. And that's a big deal, actually. That's a big change in somebody's life. So we just want to stand with John this morning and pray for him. Is there any other young people here who are going up to secondary school in the next... Angel, you're already in secondary school. Okay, let's pray for John. I just feel, let's stand. If you could all just stand with us this morning. I just felt it'd be good for you to see these people here before you who are with you in this next step of your life, or at least a picture of the people of God around you and with you in it, and a picture of actually a greater that heaven is with you in this next part of your journey, and just that it's good that you are here amongst these people. It's a good place to be, and it's a good place to stay. and through these next years of your life, there'll be a lot of people here praying for you as you go through various interesting seasons. You know, I just think it's good that you're here. And I know for myself, when I look back at my own Johnny and my daughter Sarah Jane, I see being part of God's people as being so important in their growing up. So I'd encourage you to see God's family around you as something so precious and so beautiful. It'd be good to pray. And can we get a couple of the teenagers who have made this journey, this transition from the kind of primary school to the senior school, just to come and pray as well? Would that be all right? Any volunteers? Yeah, as always. Thank you. Lovely. So let me hand you the microphone. If you three guys can pray, and then.
Yes, Father, we just ask your blessing upon John, Father, in this next season of his life, Father. We ask you'd fill him, Father, with your Holy Spirit. You'd go ahead and prepare friends for him, Father, prepare teachers for him, prepare, you protect him, Father. Your protection would be upon him.
Right.
And we ask that you would lead him to the right people, Father, the right places, Lord, and that you would really help him, Father. You would be his rock, Father, and his foundation in this next season of his life, Father. He would grow in you, Father, and he would experience your joy, Father, in secondary school, and you do so well. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you that John knows you and that he's here with you, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are already at his secondary school waiting for him. And we just really pray that you'll help him to really have love for the other people and make him meet with other great friends, Lord, and help him just to really be able to enjoy his time at secondary school, Lord, and really be able to meet with you and honour you there. Amen.
Dear Lord, I pray for John, Lord. I pray that he'll be able to teach you to other students, Lord, that he wouldn't be afraid to talk about you, Lord, and be confident in God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to ask that you would take hold in a fresh way of John's life, and that you would take him through the next years to adult faith in you. Lord, we thank you for his real living love for Jesus, and we pray for this journey. We pray for these years. We pray, God, would you mature him? Would you grow him? Would you teach him your ways? And we pray for that day, Lord, when he reaches adulthood and he steps out, Lord, with you as an independent person, choosing to live for Jesus. And we pray, would you work that in him? Would you take him on that journey? And would you bring him right through to that maturity in the name of Jesus?
Yes, Lord, we stand with him as a church, Lord, and pray that you would help us to be faithful in praying, Lord, and supporting him. Father, we pray that blessing of your people over him now, in Jesus' name.
I just felt, John, that even as you've got Big John as your father, you've got a heavenly father, bigger even than Big John. And with you. Lord, we just want to pray for John, Lord God, that he would just have this sense, Lord. I pray for faith, Lord, a deposit, a gift of faith to see you and to know you in this next season of his life, Lord God. And to this knowing you will be something growing and something beautiful, Lord, something foundational, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Fantastic. Well, if you grab a seat, just a couple of things. We've got the prayer season, new fresh prayer season starting Tuesday nights, 7:30 till 9 o'clock. We'll be praying at Highgate Road Chapel. Very excited about this opportunity, this new fresh time to pray. And so we're looking forward to that. Really fantastic time. Next Sunday is Food Bank Sunday. It's a real privilege to work with other churches here in Camden, to be able to support those. It's a very practical Christian way of touching lives of people who are struggling financially at this time. So if you would like to contribute next Sunday morning, just bring along tins, packets of food that won't go off. We put it over by the information point, then it's taken and it's distributed and given out to those who are in need in this time here in Camden. It's a fantastic practical thing to do. That's next Sunday, is Food Bank Sunday. After this morning's meeting, we've got lunch. So please don't rush off, because we're going to be sharing lunch together after our time here. Next month, we've got a ladies' breakfast, and that's going to be on the 10th of October. It's at 9 o'clock. And we're very excited because Regina's going to be sharing with us. So we're looking forward to a really fantastic time at that event for the ladies. That's going to be on the 10th of October, Saturday in the morning. Nick, come tell us what's happening in a few weeks' time. In a few weeks' time, apparently, we've got something really amazing. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time, and it's getting very close. Come and tell us about what's happening.
God is not a God of confusion. Okay, yeah. International Day. Save John doing it. It's coming up on the 20th, which is only, 3 weeks away. It's going to be a fantastic time. Just to enthuse you a little bit, we're going to have international prayer of different nations. We're going to have international music. We're going to have international food. The kids are going to be doing something wonderful. Instead of doing the usual message, Big John, as they call him, Little John, I call him, like in the Robin Hood story, John and I are going to do the message together. So that'll be interesting, won't it? And hopefully fun, and even more hopefully good. So, yeah. So the big thing is pray, because we really want this to be a God thing. Secondly, do think about bringing your friends. Joe tells me that our hairdresser is booked in to come. So think about who you can bring. And then let's bring lots of glorious grub, at least twice as much as you would normally bring, because I know we're going to have lots of visitors. Okay?
The fact that Joe's hairdresser is coming, I'm not sure that's... You don't turn up with, you know, ready to get your hair done, because that isn't the... That isn't the idea, I don't think. We are saying goodbye to somebody this morning who has been very precious to us and is going back to China. Aaron, you're looking around as if you're thinking, oh, who's that? It's you. Aaron, would you like to come up? And we'd love to pray for you as you prepare to go. Come on down, as they say. I don't know who they are, but... Yay. Embarrass the chap. Aaron is going back to China. Visa has come to an end. And in some ways, all we can do, we don't want him to go. He doesn't want to go either. All we can do is yield to what God is calling you into next. That's what I feel for you this morning, whatever that is. I think we're secretly praying, or not so secretly praying, that you may come back. You know, your ways are in God's hands. And that's absolutely the safest and the most beautiful and the most fruitful place to be. Aaron has got this amazing gift that I think I should get him to pray for me. This gift of simple friendship. And I think, to be honest, there's, you know, of all the sort of the wonderful gifts that we might aspire to be prophetic, to be this, to be that, actually, the gift of friendship, I think, is perhaps one of the most precious. And something that, I certainly pray for more of myself. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think certainly one of the things I want to pray for you today is that God will really use that wonderful gift of friendship and relationship and that you'll be blessed in that. And his kingdom will be blessed in that as well.
Yeah, so I was just thinking about Aaron. Go, we are going to miss you, Aaron. But we're hoping that it'll only be for a short time. We're hoping this will be au revoir rather than goodbye. But we don't know. We're in God's hands, aren't we? I thought of Aaron, the Bible talks about a reed blowing in the wind. And John the Baptist, Jesus said of him, you know, that if you want to find soft clothing, you go to king's palaces. But John the Baptist was a nothing. He just had his sackcloth and ate his locusts and wild honey and got on with what God wanted in his life and was incredibly effective. And I thought it was like a strawberry plant. I don't know if you know anything about strawberries, but as strawberries kind of multiply, they send out a shoot, and then another strawberry plant grows, and then that one sends out a shoot. And then the link between the first and the second gradually dies away, so that a strawberry plant doesn't have control over everything and build some kind of massive kingdom of strawberries. They're just do their thing. And I think that's what Aaron does. He's just made the most of the opportunities that he's got faithfully. And we're going to pray that God would continue to do that. Anna, do you want to come too? Not just because Anna speaks Chinese, but Anna's been very much part of the Alpha for Esau. Where's Suzanne? Is she here? Yay, come on up. And we'd like to all kind of join in praying for you. And, what about you, Alpha crowd, that have come along too? Come on, Severio. You should be up here too. Anybody else that came along to the Alpha for Esau? Amy sitting there. I know there are one or two others. We just want to kind of get around Aaron, right? Johnny, fantastic. Yes, put down the coffee, Amy. So if you feel God shows you anything as we pray, then do just speak out. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait on God and just see.
I saw a picture of a cannon firing a cannonball, and I just was thinking about you being represented by this cannonball, and that God is sending you. I believe it's being sent out like that explosion behind the cannonball pushes it at great speed. God's sending you in his purpose and his power for his, whatever he's going to do, whatever he's going to do. And Lord, we do want to pray today for Aaron that you would send him in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, wherever that cannonball ends up, Lord, we pray, would you propel it forward with your energy, with your power, with your Holy Spirit today.
I had a similar picture of a shooting star shooting across the world, and I thought that was about you being sent back to China in God's power as kind of this bright light.
Father, we want to just pray, Lord, as a church, Lord, we thank you that people were sent out from your church, Lord, and there is something about your church, Lord, that you've... And we just pray as a church for Aaron. Father, we pray for authority and the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, your word says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we pray, Father, for that anointing of your Spirit to come powerfully upon Aaron, Lord. And Father, would you help us to be faithful in remembering him in our prayers?
I just felt, Aaron, just to read you this, perhaps one of the most famous passages in the Bible, really, but so beautiful and so true. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Let's give him a big warm send-off. During the lunch, when we have lunch at the end, opportunity just to say, if you've got something personal, just to wish him. We're looking forward to a fantastic lunch. But before lunch... Before that, we've got
our children are going out to their groups. So I wonder if you'd all stand up for a moment, please. Everyone stand up for just... it'd be fantastic. The young people are going to go now. The children are going to go. Preschool are going to go out the door now. For everyone else, you turn around to the person behind you, say hi, introduce yourself. Whilst you're saying hello, children, young people, now's your chance to make a move.
We're just praying. The Lord showed me that what appeared to be a pathway, and there were a lot of stones on that pathway, and they were very rough stones. And suddenly I saw water flowing upon the stones. And I said, God, what is this? And he said, the stone is you, all of you, and the water is my spirit. And as the water flowed on the stones, the stone began to change. They became beautiful. Some were red, some were blue, some were green. They were all manner of precious stones. But towards the end of what the Lord was showing me, I saw a couple of stones that were unchanged. And they looked exactly the same as it was in the beginning. And the Lord said, I should push the stones closer to the water. And the closer they get to the water, the better they looked and the finer they are. And the Lord said to me, if anyone is struggling with this difficulty, let them come. And let the elders of the church just pray along with them in this line, that I'm here now and I'm flowing like the water, and I want to wash away all the burdens from their shoulders. I want to take away all the dirt from the stone so that they can be clean again, so that they can be changed. Thank you.
Thank you, John. As we're finishing off today, as John said, I'd love to pray. If there's a particular issue that's come to mind that you'd like some support, I'd love to pray. But as we're finishing today, let's just pray for each other. Just put your hand on the person next to you, on their shoulder, and would you just bless them? Just pray God. You could pray out loud or just quietly in your heart, if you, whichever is more comfortable. Just put your hand on the person next to you and just say, God, would you bless my sister? Would you bless my brother? Would you work in their lives? Would you help them to move into these things? Pray, stretch out today and say, God, would you work? Would you work in my brother and sister's heart, please?